Welcome to week two of our Christmas series this year. Just a short four-week Christmas series, not 4 weeks, actually 3 weeks, and a Christmas Eve service. So a short Christmas Eve, Let's start over. Short Christmas series. I was thinking about Christmas Eve because I have a card in front of me that says Christmas Eve. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Short Christmas season as we talk about touching wonder. My goal in these messages is really for us to just take another look at a story which for many of us is very familiar. And that's okay because the story, though it might be familiar, must never grow old to us. It must never lose its wonder. We must always look at it each and every time it comes to us as something miraculous, as something wonderful and awe-inspiring. And we talked about that word wonder last week as we were together. And that word wonder is this idea of something bigger or greater than anything we've ever seen. Something bigger than we expected, something bigger than we could have maybe even imagined. And that's what God is doing as he sends his son to the earth as a baby boy in Bethlehem. As we're building up to that point, I want us to just remember that word wonder and keep it in the forefront of our mind. And how we're going to do that is we're looking at real people, flesh and blood people in the story of the Savior's birth who had an encounter with Almighty God, who met with God in the form, these first two were in the form of an angel. Gabriel came as a messenger and spoke to them a direct word from God. And we looked last week at an old priest named Zechariah, and he got an announcement from the angel Gabriel that his wife was going to have a child in her old age. And if you were here with us, or if you remember the story, he had doubt and he had unbelief. Lord, how can this be? I'm old, my wife is old. I don't think it's going to work out. And he was given both the sign and the sentence of silence. He could not speak at that point because he did not believe God, and he needed to understand that God would indeed fulfill his promises to him. And today, we're going to come to a familiar story, the story of Mary, the story of the angel visiting Mary. And you say, well, I know this story. I've heard this story. I know you have. I know most of you, many of you have heard it. But I want you to hear it again today and think of the awe and the wonder of a God who visits this young girl and shares with her the good news that she would be the mother of the Son of God. Now, I've titled today's message straight from the words of Mary that we're going to read in a moment, Let It Be. Not the Beatles song, Let It Be from Mary, okay? I'm making sure you're paying attention. I got one action step for you before we get into reading God's Word together. If you are like me, I love the Christmas Eve service. It's a time for us to get together, and we end that time with a candlelight time. Well, they're LEDs now, but they're candles, okay? We end that time together, and we celebrate that. We're going to have two Christmas Eve services this Christmas Eve, and we've made up cards, invite cards. If you go out the doors, and right on the left, up against the windows, is a big table full of cards, business-sized cards that have you're invited to Christmas Eve and the times, and then on the back it has the church information. They're in bundles of five. Take a bundle or two, and there's some individual cards. These are really small. You can put them in your pocket. Hand those out if you're in your neighborhood or at your place of business or your work. Just encourage you to invite people to, do you have a place to go to Christmas Eve service? We'd love to invite you to come here at Grace. So these will be out for the next two Sundays. I encourage you to pick those up. If you're reading through our Advent devotional together, this is your action step this week, is to hand these out to someone that you know and invite them to join us. Well, let's get to God's Word. If you got your Bible, Luke chapter 1. We're going to pick up where we left off the story last week there in verse 26. Read through verse 38, and then we'll skip down just a little bit and read Mary's song in verses 46 through 55. So again, a familiar story, but I want you to follow along and look at God's Word with me. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to have the words here on the screen for you as well. Here's what God's Word says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Skip down just a little bit to verse 46, if you would, with me. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." May God bless the reading and the teaching of his word today. I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look through this story in Luke chapter 1 together today. We have again a visit from an angel. Happened to be the same angel, Gabriel. Gabriel was a busy guy these 6 months. He was out doing a lot of visitation, and he had went to Zechariah. And now comes to a young girl, Mary, in a different city, though. If you remember, Zechariah was in the temple, which was in Jerusalem. Mary, we find here to the north in a small village called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth wasn't much to talk about. Really, really not on a major trade route, not really all that of important of a place, a very humble place, agrarian, very people that just got by and made their way through life. It was a good place, but it was not a place where you might think the king would be born. It's not a place where he would be from. Now, I know he's going to be born in Bethlehem, but you understand his home is Nazareth, and it's a humble, normal place. And Gabriel comes to a young girl, Mary. Now, when I say young, I mean most people believe Mary 12 to 15 years old on the very high side. A very, very young girl who was betrothed to a young man named Joseph. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been betrothed, have you? I have not. We got engaged, right? Now, a betrothal was a much different process, okay? Very much, I know many of you may have heard this before, but a betrothal was a much more formal, a much more legal process. So a man would go, and he would have to negotiate with the girl's father. There would be a bride price, and there would be a contract, if you will, between them. And then they would be betrothed legally for about a year. And then they would actually get married, okay? Now, you say, well, that sounds really weird. I didn't pay anything for my wife, didn't give anything for her, didn't pay. You know, Becky and I didn't get betrothed. I proposed to her on the couch, you know, and it 23 years next week, you know, there you go. So it worked out okay. I think she's in here. No glance from her. We're good. All right. So, you know, it was a different world, right? It was a different time. But this was a very formal agreement. And so once you were betrothed to someone, you didn't just get out of that. You couldn't just change your mind and take the ring back to Jared, you know, or anything like that and be good to go. It's not how it worked. Very formal process. I say all that because I want you to understand they were in all senses committed fully to each other. But they had not consummated their marriage together. And so when the angel comes to Mary and greets her, and a couple of times in this, you'll notice in verse 28 and also in verse 30, the angel tells her that she is favored, or she has found favor with the Lord. And when we think of the word favor, we often, what comes to our mind first is usually the word favorite. You know, we think favorite, like Mary, you're the favorite. That's not the context that the word is used in here. It's actually a word of grace. a word of undeserving yet fully receiving the blessing of God. It's a picture of salvation, do you understand? It's a picture of what God is going to do in this baby, in this little one. You've found favor, Mary. You are the favored one. You have been given a great gift and a great blessing from God Almighty Himself. And you received it on the basis of grace, not on your works, not on your goodness, not on. Mary was not sinless or perfect. It was because God chose her. Why did God choose her? I don't know. Why did God choose any of us for salvation? I don't know, because God is God and I'm not. And He chose Mary and called her favor. And He says to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I would think you would need to tell her that. Number one, an angel is in the room with you, okay? Number two, you're about to be given a very specific message that is very troubling, if you will, to her. The angel tells her, Mary, you are going to conceive in your womb a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Not only will you conceive a son, but he's going to be a great ruler. He's going to be greater than any ruler the world has ever seen. He's going to rule on the throne forever, and he's going to dominion over all these kingdoms. And all this is my standard part of the year where I give the disclaimer on the song, Mary, Did You Know? Do y'all know that song? Mary, I'm not going to sing it for you, but Mary, did you know? Have you seen the meme on that? It's like, yeah, Mary knew. The angel told her, okay? Did you know your baby boy would rule the nations? Yes, she did. It's right here. Okay, so not dogging on Mark Lowry. Great song, but I'm just saying. I hope they don't watch this. Anyway, you know. But she did know what was going to happen. They get all this language about King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Son of God. He's going to rule over the nations. This is Messiah language. You know this. You read the Old Testament. Messiah language. He's going to be greater. He's going to reign on the throne of his father David and all these things. Son of the Most High. Special relationship to God. All of these things. The name Jesus, in fact, his name means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. This is the one who was the bringer of salvation to the world. And Mary, not only is this going to be your son, you're going to receive this son in your womb through the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that when we read the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah is full of prophecies about the Messiah. He says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. What we just sang, God with us. All these details come in, and Mary, as we said in the earlier, Mary is favored. She's chosen by God. God's grace is bestowed on her, and she is becoming a chosen vessel for what God is doing in the world. And he says to Mary, Mary, I want you to know, you can trust me. I'll give you a sign. Even your old Elizabeth, your relative Elizabeth in her old age is also going to have a baby. A matter of fact, she's already 6 months pregnant. And verse 37 is an underliner, if you will. After hearing all of this, we read that nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. God, your promise can be trusted. You will perform your word. Now, let's just stop right there for a second. We've heard this story so many times that we often skip over this little next part because we think, yes, the Messiah is going to be born and he's going to live a sinless life and he's going to die on the cross for our sins. And I know he's going to be resurrected again and he's going to ascend to heaven and all of these things. But I want you to put yourself in the shoes of a 13-year-old girl who just got visited by an angel, number one. And number two, was just told that you're going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Now, where are you mentally at this point? I know where I'm at. What? Why'd you repeat that? Gabriel, let's go through that one more time, all right? We laugh, but we would have been there, wouldn't we? It's exactly where we would have been. Yet Mary's response is is our focus today in verse 38. Mary said to the angel, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be. Now, what does it mean for Mary to say, "Let it be"? Let me tell you, let's talk real practically what it means. She's got to go to Joseph and say to him, "Joseph, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit." Huh? "Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant, but it's okay, it's by the Holy Spirit. I've got to go to my place of worship, and I've got to go to the synagogue there in Nazareth, and I've got to worship, and I've got to tell the people I'm pregnant." But you're not married. You're not with Joseph yet. Do you understand the taboos of all that's happening right here? This is no minor issue. For her to say, "Let it be," is for her to say, "Okay, I understand what's about to come. I understand what," in the best of her understanding, I would imagine. At that point, she said, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna humble myself and allow God to work through me. Let it be. Don't skip over that part, okay? Because you and I both know that the story works out, don't we? We know the story works out. When she, at this point, utters these words, does she know that the story's going to work out? She does not, does she? But what does she have? She has a great trust in God. She has a great trust in God and a great believing that we talked about last week, that he is who he says he is, and that he will do what he says he's going to do. So Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. Okay, we skipped over that part. She goes and visits Elizabeth, and that's a message I've preached another time. The baby leaps in her womb because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then she sings a song, and I'm not going to have time to go through the whole thing today, just for the sake of our focus today. Mary sings, let me read the first couple of verses to you again. You know what now she's gone through, okay? You know where her mindset is. And then she sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Why? Because he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. There's that word again. It appeared in verse 38. "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord." Verse 48, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." Verse 49, "He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." He's looked upon my humble estate, my imperfect nature, my life as it is, my real life as it is. "He looked upon me," Mary says, "and gave me favor." Marvelous, isn't it? Marvelous grace, marvelous mercy. Mary knew that something was going on, but I don't think she had any idea of all that was about to happen and all that was going on in the world around her. Maybe just a glimpse, but certainly not the whole picture. So today we're going to go back to our central question. I told you in this series we're going to answer the same question every message. The question is, how can we be captivated by the wonder of God? And I'll give you last week's up there just as a review. How can we be captivated by the wonder of God? We said last week, if you were with us, we said that was by believing. And we looked at Zechariah's story. Zechariah had doubt and unbelief, okay? But we talked about how instead of being like Zechariah, we should trust in him and we should believe in him. And the idea of believing happens where? It happens in our heart. It happens in our mind. When we believe, we consciously make a decision to trust God and believe that he is who he says he is, right? And that he'll do what he says he's going to do. That's step one. That's where we need to get first. Now, step two is what Mary shows us today. And the second thing we see, how can we be captivated by the wonder of God? By submitting. Now, submitting is much more of an action word. Believing very much takes place in our heart and in our minds. Submitting takes place when we put feet to our belief, don't we? Mary not only believed that God was who he says he was and what he was going to do. What else did she do? She walked it out, if you will. She lived it out. Lord, whatever it is, you let it be to me. I'll go talk to my fiance. I'll go to my church. I'll go to my family. I believe you and I trust you and I submit myself to you. And if you think about the story, doesn't Mary reflect any of us? Normal people from a normal town, just trying to hear the voice of God and listening for the voice of God. And she brought two things to the table, and you have these two things as well. She was available and she was willing. Lord, I'm available for you to work through me, however it is you choose to work through me. And whatever it is that you tell me in that, Lord, I'm willing to do it. Notice Mary, that was her credentials. So a lot of times we get into a story like this and we struggle to see ourselves, because I don't think any of you are going to be asked to give birth to the Son of God, okay? That happened one time. You're good. So you think, how can I see myself in this story? I'm not going to have to do that. We can see ourselves in the story because we need to be reminded that God completes his promises. God completes his promises. They will come to pass exactly like he said. We can trust him. And our proper response to God is, Lord, I'm your servant. And I'll give you myself. And I'll make myself available to whatever it is you want me to do. How do I do that? I have to believe that you are who you say you are. I have to believe first. If you don't get past believing, you won't get to submitting. You understand? You will not submit yourself to something that you don't believe in. Right? So we have to believe. God, I trust you. I believe your word is true. I believe you fulfill your promises. And now, because I believe all of those things and I do that, now I'm going to submit myself. That means I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to do something that I might not fully understand. I'm going to say yes to something that might be really scary to me. I'm gonna step out in faith on something that I don't know if I'm fully qualified for. That's submitting. And that's exactly what we see in Mary today. God, I trust that you will give me direction, and I trust that you will give me the ability to do what it is that you want me to do. Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in any sort of inferiority complex that you don't believe that God can't use you. That you don't believe that he can't do something through you. You think, well, what is it? I mean, do I have to preach or do I have to teach? No, you don't. You need to be available. You need to be willing. The truth is, God may just be calling you to share Jesus with your kids. You know? He might just be calling you at some moment to share Jesus with a coworker, one person. I don't know what it is. Are you available? Are you willing? Or do we see ourselves in the picture as one like Mary? You think, man, if maybe an angel would visit me. It's probably not going to happen, okay? God promised us that he sent his spirit that speaks into us. And then at the end, here's what you do, and this is what we're going to talk about the next two messages. When you believe God, when you submit to him, do you know what it leads you to? You praise God. You worship God for all that he's done and all that he's going to do. And you can sing like Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. In other words, God is active in the life of his children. Do you understand that the God that was active in 2,000 years ago in a little place there in Nazareth is still active today and speaks to his children? He is involved in the lives of his children. And God values our hearts and our willingness to submit to him and to listen to him. And the reason why we can do that is because of grace, because we found favor through Jesus Christ. Not because we're good, not because we're perfect, not because we're great, but because Jesus was good and Jesus was perfect. And because of those two things, we can find favor as well. And we can say to God today, this Christmas season, as we think about the wonder of God, God, I believe you and I'll give you my life, Lord. Whatever that means, I trust you. That's our simple yet bold call, isn't it, this Christmas season. As you leave this place, as you go out this week, I want you to think on those things. Think about a God who is involved in the life of his children. Think about a God who is involved in the life of people right here in 2019, almost 2020, and still desires to call us to obedience and calls us to something greater, maybe even than we might imagine. Well, let's bow together for just a moment. Give us a time to respond this morning. Place yourself, if you would, just for a moment, in the story of Mary. Lord, if you call me today to do something for you, Lord, am I willing? Am I available? Do I believe, first of all, that you have the power to do those things? And then God will, I want to submit myself to that. That's a question we've got to ask ourselves. Nobody can answer that question for you. Only you can answer that for yourself. We know that salvation comes. We know that life comes through this baby boy that was to be born to Mary. But sometimes we have to say yes to God before we even know the rest of the story. Are you willing to do that today? Willing to say, God, I trust you. I believe you. I submit to you. Even though I don't know what might happen next. Father, we come to you this morning. We admit, Lord, we admit in our humanity that we struggle. Lord, we admit that we sometimes want all the answers before you're ready to reveal them to us. God, I pray in my own life for a spirit like Mary, a spirit of submission, God, that you would just be the one who would let it be. And that when I say those words, Lord, I would trust you and I would believe you. God, that I would know, Lord, that you are who you say you are and you do what you say you're going to do. Lord, forgive us when we demand from you signs or, Lord, evidence, when truthfully, Lord, you've given us all that we need. So God, I simply pray this morning that we would just have a moment of surrender. Lord, as we think on these things, Lord, we ask that you guide our thoughts. We pray that in Jesus' name.